All I can say is, if you aren't beginning to feel the Christmas spirit after that song, wake up! I mean, there is such a power in the midst of a melody, in the midst of the written word, the sung word, that touches our hearts and our lives in a very special way. And today we're gonna look at the written word, and I got to tell you, we're gonna look about and talk about a man that didn't take a Dale Carnegie course. How do I know that? Because there just seemed to be an awful lot that just seems to bubble out of this guy. And sometimes you wonder, is he angry with me? Did I do something to mess up? What's happening right now? And so we hear the words as they come from the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew about a man by the name of John the Baptist. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, folks, that's not a bad thing to say, is it? That's a good thing to say. That's a good thing for all of us to hear. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, John himself was clothed in camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You kind of get that feeling? He was almost in that mode of, boy, God's about to get everybody, and I wish you'd stayed around to get it. Nah. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, the chaff with unquenchable fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Aren't you glad he at least passed that Dale Carnegie course? I got to tell you, it was my very first Sunday in Troy, North Carolina. Now, I can tell you something. I had graduated from seminary 2 weeks earlier. So that should tell you something. I knew everything. I mean, isn't that the way it is when you first get out of school? You get out and you realize, I got it all. I know it all. I'm ready to go. That Sunday night, we held our first administrative council meeting. The last topic of discussion on the agenda was the fall revival. And the administrative council chairperson stood up and he announced that a friend of his from work was going to be the preacher for the fall revival. And I looked up and I asked a really stupid question. I asked, wow, you have a United Methodist minister working with you at work? No. Well, then I think I'm supposed to ask the district superintendent if it's okay if that person comes in. I don't remember the rest of the conversation that took place that night. By the time the fur stopped flying, and I happen to think that most of the fur had originally been attached to my body and to my backside. The chairperson of the administrative council, his wife, who was the president of the United Methodist Women, had both decided to leave the United Methodist Church and they called before God and everybody else and said, John Dutton is a communist. Now, the problem was, I hadn't gotten a chance to show them yet whether I really was or not. But the only positive thing that I can ever remember coming out of that first administrative board or administrative council meeting was I did find out what the meaning of communist is. And a communist is, quote, a person who does not allow you to do what you want to do, end of quote. Folks, that was my first week as a pastor of the United Methodist Church. I had grave concerns. Grave concerns? Grave concerns. Are there any other kind? I had grave concerns about this stuff called being a pastor. Because it seemed like, from my very first experience, it was going to be impossible to ever keep peace and harmony, whether you're talking about churches, families, or even communities. Now, a person said I couldn't do it, and I want to show you I really can. I just have three questions to ask you about the gospel lesson today. So you need to open your Bibles, go back to Matthew 3. Are you there yet? You're going to need your Bible through the next 10 or 15 minutes, so you might as well just have it out and be ready to go. You're in Matthew 3, 1 through 12. First question I want to ask is, what does John the Baptist's diet and clothes tell us about who John is? What does his diet and clothing tell us about who he is? Very simple person. Lives in the woods. And I need to do something real quick. You know I don't hear real well, so I'm not going to repeat what I just, all the things I hear, because who knows what I'm going to end up hearing sometime. So you're going to have to speak really loud so others hear you. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh. Anybody else? Yes. He's a hermit. Ah. I don't know if you heard it. He's designed to attract attention. Okay, knowing that he's designed to attract attention, what is John's purpose in life? Introduce God to the people. There you go. Say it out loud one more time. I love the way he goes back to Isaiah's words. And he simply says, prepare the way for Messiah. So what's his message? What's John's message? One greater than me is coming. What's his message? Repent and be baptized. What's his message? Prepare the way. I love the way that word repent. You know what it means? It's simply to turn around. It's to go that new direction. It's to change our lives. Okay, that's all one from the gospel. That's it. Now, I need you to turn to Isaiah 11. We heard that one a little earlier, didn't we? Jan read it for us. Now, Isaiah 11 is a story of hope. It's a hope that's felt. It's a hope that's seen. Every time there's a new king that is either selected or anointed. And in fact, Isaiah is really trying to speak of a golden era of that is coming upon the world because of this new king coming to the throne. So, as you look at verses 3 to 5, what are the characteristics that a king is going to need to rule in this golden time? What are the characteristics in verses 3 through 5 that a king's going to need? Not judge. I heard wisdom. Righteousness. I know I heard it. Faithfulness. Fear of the Lord. Justice. You know, there seems to be within all of these this whole idea of discernment, of recognizing and revealing the insights to understand what's going on all around. And because of these characteristics that you've already mentioned, there's a state of peace that is able to exist, a peace that goes beyond just the absence of war. It's a peace that will totally transform both nature and society. And for me, verse 9 is actually the power verse of a vision that Isaiah is seeing. He says, "And they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Folks, what a powerful vision of hope. What a vision of peace and harmony. And it all happens for one reason, and that is people are full of the knowledge of the Lord. Now, folks, I'm not talking about an Albert Einstein IQ of 215 or something like that. I'm not talking about a computer that's somehow capable of making all of the calculations for a space shuttle to do its thing. I'm talking about knowledge of the Lord. Folks, that's a personal knowledge. That's a knowing the person of God. That's meeting God in Jesus. Living with Jesus day by day. Developing and continuing to develop that relationship, one with the other, day by day. That's the knowledge of the Lord that allows hope, peace, and harmony to be a part of our lives and a part of our living. And then I want to take you to Romans 15, 4 through 9, and verse 13 for just a second. So I know you're flipping now. And see, some of you are really good. You got the Bibles that actually had the labels on the outside. That's almost unfair. All the rest of us are doing the flip thing, trying to say, okay, it's got to be about this far. It's got to be about this far. In verse 4, anybody got verse 4 already? Our telephone person does. Anybody got verse 4? Do us a quick favor. Read it out loud for us. Ah, did you hear what gives us hope? It's that encouragement and endurance, that steadfastness that comes through the Word, through Jesus. And then verse 5. Anybody want to do verse 5 for us real quick? Yes, ma'am. Yes. And I'm deaf and I didn't hear it. What is that characteristic of God that it shows up there? Ah. So in the midst of the chief characteristic is, you know, once again, that sense of encouragement, steadfastness. In verse 7, what are we told that we need to do? In verse 7, what are we told we need to do? Welcome one another. Okay, in verse 8, what does Jesus do in verse 8 to confirm the promises and to allow the Gentiles to glorify God? Yeah, I heard that word out really loud. He serves, doesn't he? Are we beginning to see a theme that's developing in how peace and harmony are supposed to develop within us? Steadfastness and encouragement. Steadfastness and encouragement. Welcoming spirit. Serving others. So if we want peace and harmony in our church, if we want peace and harmony in our homes, if we want peace and harmony in our community, then I think it's to develop a life vision of hope, to see our lives with possibilities. To develop that vision in my life means that I have to become an encourager. Anybody in here ever had one of those chicken soup for the soul calendars? I remember when they first came out, and it was one of those wonderful gifts that people always gave the preacher. And I appreciate it. I really do. I mean, I had chicken soul for the soup calendars everywhere I could possibly think, so that everywhere I went in my day, all I had to do was flip the thing again. And it didn't matter where I was, whether I was at home, whether I was in the office, whether I was in my truck. It just didn't matter, because you always had one. And I loved one of the stories that came out. It was one of those things that it took them 15 days to actually tell the story. You remember how they used, I mean, they'd start the story and then you just have to keep going. I cheat. I mean, I promise. I can't help it. I had to go ahead and read the whole story when I started on that first day. I'm one of those. I remember the story of Jamie Scott. Jamie was trying out for a part in a school play. Jamie wanted a part so bad. I mean, his very heart was set upon it. And to anybody that would listen, Jamie would come up and say, I'm trying out for a part in a school play. He was so into it on the day that the parts were going to be announced. His mom was actually concerned. Worried's the right word. What's going to happen if Jamie doesn't get a part? And so Mom decided to take a friend with her to go meet Jamie at school that day. And what she sees coming out of the school building was Jamie just running, throwing his hands up in the air, shouting, "Guess what, Mom? Guess what? I've been chosen to clap and cheer. I've been chosen to clap and cheer." And folks, that's one of the greatest things that you and I can ever do for other people. Not just for the people who are really nice to us. Not just for the people we like. But for all those around us. We've been chosen to clap and cheer. But I got to tell you, just a little confession now. My wife and my kids know I've been known to blow a gasket. Yeah. I'll never forget. Our son Richard had just finished losing a tennis match to a young man that during the high school season he just completely dominated. And then when it was actually going to count on his record, he played terrible. I don't know how else to say it. Sometimes it's not a great thing to have dad as a coach. I questioned Richard's motivation for playing tennis. I questioned why his mother would want to see him come play tennis. I questioned why his sister would want to come to watch him play tennis. And I questioned why I should be forking out so many good dollars, just pouring them down a hole in the ground for him to play tennis. As you can see, I was absolutely and totally out of control. And wouldn't you know it, the next day on the chicken soup for your soul calendar was a story. It was the story of Jamie Scott. It hit me like a freight train. I have been chosen to clap and cheer. To see within all things the goodness which exists. I spent that afternoon with my son, apologizing to him over and over again for being an idiot. For not having the good sense that a parent should have for their child. I apologized multiple days in a row. And I've worked from that time to make sure that I am, in fact, an encourager. That I realize I've been chosen to clap and cheer. And folks, it's not always easy. But if we do that, I can promise you this. There will be a difference in our homes, in our church, in our community. Why? Because if I'm looking for the good in each person, if we are looking for the good in each person, I can promise you this, we will find it. It's there. And I realize you may not understand something about me. I'm a control freak. My basic nature is to have absolute control over anything and everything going on. And part of what God is trying to do through me, as I think He will end up doing for each of us, is as we learn to clap and cheer, I've begun to learn I don't have to control everything going on around me. They're good people all over the place. You and I have been chosen to clap and cheer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.